Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 30. What is the next book we are going to study?
31.
Next book. Did he wake up that way this morning?
He didn't wake up this morning.
I slept over 18 hours 2 days ago.
Okay. All right. Chapter 30, please. Read the 2 Samuel ahead several times, please. And this evening's title is A Turning Point. Turning Point. All right, before we start to go into inductive Bible study, I ask you to prepare for a theme. What is the theme of this book?
Spiritual strength.
Spiritual strength. Why?
Because of his return back to God and to gain the spiritual strength that he had lost for a long time.
Good. Okay. That's what you got. That's what you got. What else? Yes, Manny.
As I read this,
let's make it short, long, not long drawn out.
I know this is going to be wrong because as I read this, my definition of the theme is God's character.
God's character. Why?
I found at least 7 characteristics of God that are demonstrated in the events of this chapter.
Okay. Tell us.
We have his mercy that comes when he did not kill any of the women that were captured by the Amalekites. He's a comforter when all the men come back and David is strengthening himself in the Lord. He's omniscient when he answers him, "Pursue, you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." He's wise in the way that he has the Egyptian come over, and he's an Amalekite, and David just starts beating him, and then in return, he's able to go directly to the man's camp. Again, the mercy he shows and his omnipotence in, I got this. He's got 400 men, but the description of what he sees is, and when he had brought him down, there they were spread out over all the land. That tells me there were a lot of people out there that David had to deal with when he killed.
And then the one who escaped on camel were 400.
Correct.
That was only left over.
And that's because the camels weren't as tired as David's. But anyway, that's other. He's the provider. When he ends up for, I think it's right here in 24, for who will he do in this matter, but as his part, as who goes down to the battle, he shall have his part. So therefore, those who didn't go, the 200, still get part of the
good.
The
book. Okay.
And also, the spoils go to the elders and his friends and to a whole bunch of other people. And that was wise on David's part, where God comes in and gives him that mindset. He came back to God. As he stated, he questioned and consulted with God before all of this, and there is wisdom that is going back and forth between that. So every time I read another thing, I saw God in his providence, another character that is displaying in his foreknowledge that I knew David was going to come back.
That's only 5.
Provider, he's wise, his mercy. Wise again.
Omniscient,
comforter. And okay, that's only 5.
Yes, Bill.
What we got was David mimicked Jesus. And what we mean by that, he went in, he conquered the bad guys, he took the spoils of that whole fight, spread it throughout the tribes. Jesus died on the cross, spread it, all the spoils for us for eternal life.
Awesome.
Good. Good. Good job. Good job, Manny, too. Okay, who else? Anyone? You guys missed out the very, very important thing. How could he get the strength from God?
I don't know, it's just jabbing, but the whole book is, I think it's the
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But you guys missed out the repentance of David's part. Without the repentance, he could not find the strength, right? And in response to his repentance, God's faithfulness and all the other things that Manny mentioned. All right, with that in mind, we'll start. Seeking God's will for us, as I mentioned kind of last week, can be quite tricky to some people and almost controversial to some Christians. Sectors. When I said it's controversial, because some denominations teach that you are supposed to tell God what you want. You heard about that?
Yeah.
And then demand, and God is pretty much a heavenly bellboy. You ring the bell, he hops. They even said it, God is obligated to meet your desire. And of course, they use Bible verses that is out of they are out of context. Whenever you take the word of God out of context, become what?
Pretext.
And it is wrong way to do it. In our church, in Calvary Chapel, we believe everything in context. Remember, whenever someone quotes a Bible verse, you need to look at the minimum of 5 verses in front. And 5 verses in the back, that way you can get the context of it. Don't just take word of the preacher or the pastor or Bible teachers. Because if you do that, you're just buying their story, their interpretation. And if they are wrong, then you're learning to be wrong as well. And why you think I demand you guys to turn your Bible with me? It's very important for you to question whether I am doing the right thing or doing wrong things. In chapter 27, David said in his heart, instead of seeking God's guidance and wisdom, he chose to do what he wanted. Because of his short-sighted decision, over 2,000 people, 600 soldiers, and their families live in a major mess for 16 long years, months, not years. To make the matter worse, David was told that he and his troop are supposed to engage in the battle against the Israelites, against his own people. And after that, by the providence of God, they were rejected to go back to their own place. That's where we left in chapter 29. We'll start at verse 1 of chapter 30, and let's pray. Father, we are glad that you are God of mercy, full of love. You give us chance after chance, opportunities after opportunities for us to come to you. Never too late to come back to you with a truly repentant heart. When we seek you, you choose yourself to be found by us. Not like the so-called those gods who are always angry and vengeful, but you are a merciful God. Slow to anger, and quick to forgive us. Bountiful in mercy and boundless in love. Father, we are asking you to speak to us tonight. As we see the life of a turning point of David, as he repent from his sins and turn to you, you are so faithful to receive him and teach him the lesson he will never forget. Father, we are asking you to speak to us and anoint our heart to receive your word and anoint the one who speaks, that he may speak your word, not his own. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that Amalekite had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, burned it with a fire, had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city. There he was, burned with a fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives, Ahinoam, and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and daughters, his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Stop, please. Your interpretation, please. What do you see? Speak freely. Yes, counselor.
Don't blame others for your problems, but look to God for strength to find solutions.
Good. Who else? Someone very wise said, you're not a failure until you start to blame someone else. Yes, hold on. I don't know. Maybe he... Okay, what she said, you need to speak up so she can hear you. Okay. Manny?
It's ironic that God shows in here that disobedience in the past is going to follow you in here. Eventually come around to harm you.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at who the Amalekites are and where they came from.
Okay, let's stop there. Let me ask you, the rest of you. Who is this Amalekite? Does it ring the bell? Enemy of Israel. Okay. Hold on.
They were the ones that Saul was supposed to have destroyed.
Correct. Right. Good. Okay. Back to you.
King Agag.
When you talk, don't hold your, because they cannot hear you well.
I'm trying to keep this. Yes. It's that David, for a long time, has been doing things that is against God, and in this chapter he comes back to God with repentance, and he inquires of the ephod and the priest, and he does what's right. Okay. However, when the Amalekites attack his...
No, just interpretation, not observation, please.
The interpretation?
Yes.
Consequences of the past are real.
Okay, good. Thank you. Anyone else?
I think we've all been in this situation before. We get the point in our life when it looks like we have lost everything that we love, completely taken away from us for that, in that moment of time. And not really, you know, not thinking it out and knowing that God would restore it. We get to that point where we're just so distraught that we're just torn apart by the devastation that's come upon us. It can come upon the family. In any situation, in your finances, anything can be taken away at any time. And we just get to that point sometimes. And I see David at that point right now, when they see everything they love is just completely taken away.
Good. I'm going to answer your question, Anna. Why did he not leave anyone? That's God's providence. He had to hit the rock bottom. So that he, as Gary said, everything can, should be taken away from him. And as what Manny said is so true, that his past sin brought these consequences. That's what we see here. Anytime, another thing is we find here is verse 6, and David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Anytime is a good time to turn to God, isn't it? That's what we should notice. Some people say, I have such a bad life, I need to straighten my life before I come back to God. Is that true or not?
No.
Anytime is a good time to... if we try to straighten ourselves, straighten our lives, we will never be able to do a complete job.
So did his pride have to be destroyed?
Yes. That's right. That's right. And another thing I say is that to find God's strength, we must come to Him first and with a repentant heart and willingness to obey what He tells us to do. What good is it for us to repent and we say, no, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. Right?
That's making a mockery.
Yes, it is. Contrite heart and broken spirit does not have a condition. Let me say it one more time. You might want to jot it down. Contrite heart and broken spirit does not have a condition. Condition zero. We do whatever it takes for us to follow Him. All right. Situation does not look good for David, does it? His group was humiliated by the Philistine leaders outside, and they came home 3 days' journey, and they found their home city burned down to the ground, and their families and belongings all taken away by Amalekite. And Amalekite shows up throughout the Old Testament history. By the way, Esther, there is a guy who tried to kill Jewish people. What's his name? Haman, exactly. In Jewish synagogue, if someone says the name Haman, some of the Jewish old people, they go like this. They actually do that. I don't know if they actually spit on the ground, probably not. But they at least, they're despising Haman. Guess who? Where did Haman came from? Amalekite. Thanks to Saul, who didn't do a job, so that came along for a long time. Another important thing here, the, remember in chapter 27, verse 8 through 11, what did David do for a living in chapter 27? Chapter 27.
He became a bandit.
Bandit. What did he do? And what else did he do?
No.
He burned all the cities wherever they raid, right? That's exactly, in a way, it's a poetic justice of God. He did the killing and burning the cities down to the ground. Actually, Amalekite was more merciful to David than what David was to other people. So this time they are all taken away. Again, God's kindness and providence, they are all taken away so that they could come back. After long pouting, David's men decided they're going to kill this fugitive honcho. What are they going to do? I don't know what they're thinking. It seems that it cannot go worse, right? And that's where it starts. The latter portion of verse 6 is the key verse of this chapter. The Lord has been waiting for this so long. And our God is always listened, always ready to listen to our prayers day or night. All we have to do is call out to Him. That's why any time is a good time to turn to God. Amen? And David, God alone, and pour out his heart before the Lord. And God things are squared away vertically with the Lord first, which helped clear away the fog horizontally with his people. He did not surrender to a hard time. The important point of this verse is that David made an initiation to strengthen himself in the Lord. God is more than willing to give us a strength, His strength, but we have to come to Him with a humble heart. I want you to go to James chapter 4, please. James chapter 4, verse 8. I want you to read it with me, please. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Say it again. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. If you are the one who is writing things on the Bible, I want you to put the number one before draw near to God. And put number two and He before He. He will not draw near to us unless we make an initiation to draw near to Him first. You with me?
Yes.
How are we going to draw near to Him? With an arrogant, prideful heart?
Humble.
Broken heart. And contrite spirit. Humble heart. Yes. Yes, he did.
He knew it's like I'm not going to do this because he's God's chosen. So, and
that was a mountaintop experience of David.
Right.
At the same time, what did he do in the last few chapters?
Well, I mean, he went against his own people. He joined other
Philistines. It's like joining the Satan.
Okay.
And was he, during that time, do you see him praying?
No.
Do you see him seeking God? Okay, so isn't that the sin of his part? So whenever there is a sin in our heart, should we deal with that before we get to God? Okay. Makes sense?
Yeah, but I just keep seeing, I keep thinking of the example in my life. I wanted to have it my way, and I told God I didn't want him, so that was the in there. When I came, and in order for me to come to the Lord, God had to let me just go on my own journey and do this, but God already knew all this predestined, that I would come to Him on this day at this time and everything else. So my journey is actually, wouldn't we say, what God had planned before the foundation?
He didn't plan. He just knew.
He knew.
Yeah. Okay. You make your own destiny within His confinement.
Okay.
You choose to go wherever you choose to go.
Right.
If you, after you become a pastor or evangelist, you choose to go wrong way, I'm coming after you. God's going to do the subcontract to me. But He already knows exactly where you, until the moment of your death and my death,
right.
He knows what to do with you.
Right. Okay.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, you are.
Okay, Manny.
As he was speaking right there, I got the image that isn't that similar
to a lot of people who will dress up, clean up for church, and then during the week do their own thing?
Yes. Okay. Good discussion. So, key point is draw near to God first. He will draw near to us. Unlike Saul, David knew where to turn to in time of crisis. Where did the Saul turn to? To who? Which of the Endor, right? Medium. Who was nothing more than fraud. He learned to wait on God, the confidence of God in God's deliverance. I wrote down the Psalm 41 and 1 through 3, and after I finished everything, and then done to me, there's a better place. Psalm 46, 1, please. Psalm 46, 1. Somebody said something, did I miss? Yeah, I'm asking you to change it. 46, 1. I think this is a better and a simpler to memorize. God is our refuge and what?
Strength.
A very present help in what?
Trouble.
Nothing is better than that. Talk about rescue boat, right? What happens when we stay riveted to the present misery? One of two things, either we blame someone, which can easily make us bitter, or we submerge in self-pity, which paralyzes us. Been there? One of our brothers is going through a really, really difficult time now. I'm asking you, you don't need to know the name. I'm asking you to pray for him. He can fall into one of these two categories. He can be bitter or he can be paralyzed. Let's pray that he may find the strength in God. Amen?
Yes.
If we rely... Can I change the slide?
Yes.
Oh, never mind. If we rely on our strength, we will fail every time. We'll be empty. But if we rely on God's strength, he pour out his strength unto us so that we may go on doing his work. This time I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. Where is the 2 Corinthians? Wow, you guys are good. That's a good one. Sharp as a bowling ball. Yeah. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that power of Christ may rest upon me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, it's funny. I'm going to tell you a funny story. For some reason, some people think that I have a gift of healing. When I pray for them and they said, well, I got healed. And so, and then they come back whenever they have a cold or it is my back hurt and they come back for more prayer. And then sometimes I have to ask God, okay, you, Lord, you heal those people through my prayer. How about me being healed by you? He didn't answer me. Probably he said, oh, here we go again. Yeah.
You need to answer before you ask.
One thing we must notice that is a contrast between chapter 28 and 30 is a striking. Saul had departed from the Lord after when he found no spiritual guidance, while David looked to the Lord for courage and direction. Seek the Lord while he may be found by you. Remember? And the warning is Saul, he did not heed. God's help is never far away as long as we keep looking up. Let's go to Isaiah 55 that I just quoted. Isaiah 55. This is something, the verses I'm quoting tonight is something you might want to jot down and memorize so it can come back and help you. It did to me when I was going through a difficult time. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So let me ask you this. If you are down and out, if you are at the wit's end, take a heart. God is with you and he will sustain you. If you ask him, he will give you peace in your heart so that you may be protected from all doubts. That is where the true strength comes from. May I change the slide? Yes, Manny.
Quick question. I haven't seen from the time that David started turning away to the time he comes back. Is there a timetable that can be relatively 10 years, 15
months? 16 months. 1 year, 4 months. How do I know? Because when you, as we start to study First King and First Chronicles, it gives a timeline.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Because the Bible tells you so.
Yeah. It's not, and it's not that I'm genius. I just looked it up. It's an open book test. Why not look it up, right? How did David strengthen himself in the Lord? He strengthened himself by remembering God's love, his promise, and calling, and his faithfulness. We too can do that. That's why, you remember that I encourage you guys to have a prayer journal? And on one side you write the prayer request, put the date. And the other side, God's answer, put the date. And as you make that kind of prayer journal, you are making a history of God's faithfulness. And whenever you are in doubt, is God going to answer me? Go back to that prayer journal. Look at the answers. God did this for me. God did this for me. And some, you may find the answer. God said no to my prayer request. But he did this for me. Some say God doesn't answer my prayer. Have you ever, when that case, if that's the case, have you ever thought about maybe God is not, God does answer prayer, but we just don't care to listen to his answer because it's not what we want. So, have you ever done that, or maybe your children or grandchildren does, stick their fingers and I cannot hear you because you don't like what, I don't like what you're saying. Yeah, and the answer we really don't like is wait. Verse 7. Then the David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Verse 9, so David went and he and his 600 men who were with him and came to the brook Besor, where those who stayed who were left behind. But David pursued he and 400 men, for 200 were stayed behind, who was so weary that they could not cross Brook Besor. Then the David found the Egyptian in the field and brought him, they found the Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. They gave him bread he ate and they gave him drink water. And they gave him the piece of cake of a fig and two clusters of a raisin. Bring up his sugar level, right? So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him. For he had eaten no bread or no drunk water for 3 days and three nights. Then David said to him, "To whom you belong, and where do you come from?" And he said, "I am a young man from Egypt, the servant of an Amalekite. My master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area of Chalastite and in the territory which belonged to Judah, of the southern area of Caleb. We burned the Ziklag with a fire." I'm sure the few sword came out of sheath. Then the David said to him, "Can you take me down to this troop?" So he said, "Swear to me by God that you will never kill me, neither kill me nor deliver me into the hand of my master. I will take you down to this troop." And when he had brought them down, there they were spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoils which they had taken from the land of Philistine and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from the twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except the 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekite had carried away. David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, the sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and herd they had driven before those other livestock, and said, "This is David's spoil." Stop there, please. What kind of interpretation do you see here? Mikey?
Here you have an Egyptian kid, who was part of the
raiding party.
Raiding party, thank you. And also an Egyptian who had no great love for the Israelites, going back to Abraham, to Moses. But he also turned into, even though he was a destructive person, he also turned into be a good person. As far as God sent him to be a deliverance for David to show him the way. So really, you have to watch out for who God sends in your life. It could be an enemy, it could be whoever it might be, but he may be there to help you.
Good. Okay. Good interpretation. What else? What else do you see?
Even though David took off with 600, two of them, 200 were just so weary because of the. It was like one long continuous trip for these boys.
By now, it's 4 days nonstop.
Yeah, that's correct.
Other than they cried their eyeballs out.
Well, that was a mere stop.
Yeah.
But they moved on. But even though God said, "Okay, I'm going to take away some of yours, but I have strength in you." So even if David said, "Guys, I'm going and I'll fight them all myself," but they all they all came along with him. But then when they get there to the brook, the 200
Bessel.
To the brook. God took 200 of the 600 from him, but yet he still strengthened them to carry on to their mission.
Okay, that's the observation. So what do you get out of that?
That no matter what you can have a whole bunch when you start. If I had to do something, God could take away everything and say, "You're on your own. But I know I have the strength of God within me so that I can carry out whatever he has put out before me."
Okay. So if God is with you, who can be against you, right? Okay. Doesn't that remind you someone else in the Bible, in the Old Testament, who had started with many, many people and ended up dwindling down to 300? Who?
Gideon.
Exactly. Okay. Manny?
I think
Hogwash?
An expression that you use quite often. In this one, the interpretation for me is where God guides, God provides, and it's sufficient.
Yes. All right. Anyone else?
Well, isn't it funny that Egyptian who hated Israelites had to be broken? He put his faith in David because his old guy, his master, left him behind. So he is broken like David.
Yes.
You think about it, and then he comes to David.
Okay. What do you get out of that?
I get nothing out of that. I just thought that was kind of interesting. We can move on.
Honest. All right, good, good going. Hold on.
Well, actually, I'll see David got all those answers were answered for him when you ask, inquire of the Lord and ask for these things, what should I do? And the Lord just provided everything for him. He set up everything for him with, like you said, the Egyptian. He was all, everything was just boom, 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 right in line, and it just came about each time. And it should be applied to our lives, too. God's voice. He's telling us to do something. Don't hold back.
Not in your own understanding.
See, not in your own understanding.
Battle belongs to the Lord.
Remember what I taught you on Sunday? Where hand of God guides you, grace of God will sustain you. Okay? Pat, you said something? I didn't catch it. You don't remember?
No.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only green, having a green belly. After David realized that he needed God to find his strength from him, the first thing he did was what? He sought the God. Not his own will anymore. He no longer consulted himself. What a change from chapter 27, right? He hit the rock bottom. He did not have a place to look other than looking up. The Lord, he does this kind of thing from time to time. When stubborn believers fight tooth and nail against the Lord's way, he take away everything and he put us in the pit where there's no place to turn to, left or right, front and back. Only place there for us to turn to is up. And he answers. Sometimes God put us in such a situation where we cannot do anything except completely relying on Him. See how God provides for him, provides them a way to find the captives who took their families. In other words, if we rely on Him, He will take care of our needs, right? Can I change the slide? Not yet. Okay. When we came to Christ, we not only received eternal salvation in Christ Jesus, but also will receive our heavenly reward according to our work on the earth. God is so gracious to us and always willing to give us more abundantly. All we have to do is seek Him and depend on Him. That reminds me of the book, very famous verse. I'm sure you guys can rattle your mouth as I start to say from the book of Matthew. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be shall be added unto you, right? Verse 21. Now the David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they also had made stay at the brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. When the David came near the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, "Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoils that we have recovered, except every man's wife and children." that they may lead them away and depart. But David said, My brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered us into our hand the troops that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But at this part, at his part is who goes down to the battle, and so shall he his part be who stays with the supplies. They shall share alike. So it was from that day forward he made a statute and ordinance for Israel to this day. Stop there, please. What do you get? Yes, Anna.
Don't be spiteful.
Don't be spiteful. Okay? What are you talking about?
So these guys wanted to deprive the men who stayed with the supplies of the share of spoils.
Okay. That was Merrill Simon. He did a great job.
So that lesson is of the Lord. Don't look down on those guys. So the guys that were, clenching this to themselves and being bitter against the ones that didn't go with them were being spiteful. And so our human nature tends to do that. So we need to be on watch for that. So we're not like that because God is generous.
Okay. You got the point, but you missed the big ship. Yes?
Just like the body of Christ, everybody has a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, everybody has a job to do. Everybody should share equally. Just like the body of Christ should share equally in the glory of Christ. They should equally. And it gives a quarter bounty that these people got to be.
Okay, you're getting there. Yes?
Don't be greedy. God has blessed you, and in turn, as one of God's chosen or people, you bless, you pass it on and bless somebody else.
Okay.
They were God's spoils.
Hmm?
They were God's spoils,
not. Okay. All right.
God's victory affects us all, not just some.
Okay.
We're all equal on his side.
Yeah, yes, but not quite. It doesn't fit here. Counselor? That's the one I was looking for. Say it again, Counselor. Those who what?
Provides
should be treated the same way as those who are in the front line. Those who work in the front of the public, such as a pastor or missionaries, should not be treated any better than those who provide from the back. Am I making sense? The one who provide with a prayer, the one who provide with a financial help or whatever, they heavenly reward from God is equal to the one who in the front as well as in the back. Am I making sense? Mm-hmm. Yes, Roger, you were saying?
No.
Oh.
In the Bible, it talks about one member, there's another member.
1 Corinthians, yes. Okay. Good job. Yes, Manny?
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Wrong?
It bothered me how they say wicked people. So looking into that, come to find out that the word that they use for that, I think is Belial. which means evil or ungodly, taking away the assumption that everybody that was with David was a good Jew, good Hebrew, which we know possibly.
Just not. Like everyone who comes in our church is not all born again Christian.
Correct. And does not David end up establishing nationwide over Israel that everybody is equal under God's law, and in the military, in this case right here, everybody will be treated?
Probably they were changed.
They were changed.
I wouldn't be surprised they later they realized they were wrong. Maybe they changed their mind. I mean, we all get changed, right?
Yes.
For the better.
Yes.
Not everyone, but
well,
yeah.
Should.
Yeah, we should be. Yes, James.
To go back in God's word, I'm not sure what chapter it is. They told that where all the people that joined him came from.
Say it again.
They were all different people, stressed. Outlaws, rebels.
Yep. Bunch of guys from the post that you would see in the post office wall, right? With the front and side view.
Mm-hmm. Wrong side of the tracks.
Huh?
These guys are
governors.
Government workers. Yes, Mr. Bob.
Why are they called wicked?
Stop. One second again.
Why are they called wicked and worthless men?
Because their attitude, their mouth. Huh? They did not want to share with the support people. Yeah. They shouldn't know better. Dave, huh? I'm sorry, Hannah.
I have a question about the previous section where David consulted with the high priest and the ephod.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you describe the ephod had pockets?
Yes.
And a stone and another stone?
There are one pocket, and there's a... If I'm understanding correctly, Urim and Thummim is a black stone, one is a white stone. It's a pretty much closed question you would ask. Okay, if you're David, you would ask, should we pursue them or not? So priest is sticking his hand inside and pulled out. I don't know how he shake it, but maybe he goes like this and pull it out. And the white stone, yes, pursue. Second question, are we going to recover them all? Put the stone back in, shake it a couple times, and then pull out another one. White stone. Yes, you will recover them all. That's how they did.
Thummim mean lights and perfection?
Yes, it is.
Lights and perfection.
But usually it's done with a white stone and black stone. Anything else? Anna?
So
she is thinking.
Verse 8 tells us the question here, shall I overtake them? And it says that God answered him, he, capital H, pursue for you shall surely overtake them.
It was explaining instead of a bunch of yes and no. It was putting all together sentence. Okay? All right. The supply line was just as vital as the soldiers. God will reward both soldiers and the supporters properly. Many people serve in the Lord, invisible, behind the scenes way, often supporting much more visible aspect of the Lord's work. And God will give the hidden servant with the same reward as a prominent servant.
No.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Went too far. Huh. I didn't make the slide. My bad.
Can you say it again?
Huh? Okay, I will read it again. The supply was just as vital as the soldiers. God will reward both soldiers and supporters properly. Many people serve the Lord in invisible, behind the scenes way, often supporting much more visible aspect of the Lord's work. God will give a hidden servant with the same reward as a prominent servant. I'm sorry, I skipped the whole slide. Sorry. Just because somebody is a missionary or a pastor, don't think that that person will receive more reward than anybody else. Let's make an example. Remember the lady who prayed for Billy Graham? And with the whole expense chasing him around to the stadium and go to the near stadium, and she goes into the stadium and praying for him while he's making a call, altar call. Will Billy Graham receive a whole lot more reward since he's the one who used by God to bring millions of people to Christ than that old lady? No. In God's eyes, she did an equal job as Billy Graham. What about the janitor in Billy Graham's evangelistic organization? Same. What if you are the one who is supporting Billy Graham financially? Will you receive the reward? Yes. In other words, when you get to heaven, you might meet someone saying, I came to know Christ because of you. And you're thinking, I don't know you. I didn't lead you to Christ. But that person will say, because you supported whoever, I came to know Christ. Never look down on what you do behind the scene. Yes, Suzanne? Yes.
With a cold, glass of water and a gold piece, they're the same.
Yep.
In the eyes of the Lord. Yeah. Perfect.
He used gold to pave the street.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that important, is it? Mm-hmm. But the living water is the one.
But the weight,
yeah.
The scale is balanced with a cold glass of water and with gold. It's balanced.
The value is the same.
Hold on, guys. Hold on. Hold on. Are you done?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like the lady in the Bible that gave two mites?
Yes.
Most people like that's nothing, but to God it was everything.
Yeah.
But she gave all she had.
Yes.
Is this not a lesson for each one of us that no matter who you are, no matter how big or small, that contentment comes from doing what God has called you to do?
Yes. There's a couple in our church, when we asked for the, after Bob Lehman passed away, he used to clean the church, did you know? And we asked for help with the janitorial service, and of course James was doing that. And this couple stepped up, and they are cleaning. They are not known. They don't brag or walk, they don't walk around with them. We are the one who cleans your dirty filth. They don't. They just quietly serve the Lord. Are they doing unto the Lord? Yes. Will they receive the reward as much as I will? If someone come to know Christ, you support the church, It's a part of your reward. Amen? Verse 26. Now when the Lord, David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the Judah, elders of Judah, to his friend, saying, here is this present for you from the spoils of enemies of the Lord. And he went on, blah, 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 all these different places. Is this a wise political move? I do think so. And he's reestablishing himself. I'm sure in 16 months period, Jewish people got to know that David is with the Philistines. So he's bringing the relationship back to them, saying, hi, hey guys, I'm with you. All right, three applications. What is your application? Don't read mine. Anna?
Don't wait until you're 100% down to seek God.
Good.
Keep a habit of seeking God so you don't get into the fixes that David got into.
Good. Good one.
And if you do, it's still not too late. You can come to Him. You're
God, with God, never is too late, right? Like a Ted Bundy, the serial killer, serial rapist, on his, right before his death, execution, he committed to the Lord. Are we going to see him? I believe so, in heaven. Yes. Manny?
If you're seeking the Lord, you never know where, when, or how God is behind the scenes working for you. He's made promises. He is faithful. Expect if you're being obedient and faithful, God will work for you.
Yep. Okay, here's mine. When we get the things squared away vertically with the Lord first, it helps to clear away the fog horizontally with His people. Second application I see, when we depend on God for His guidance and wisdom, we get more than we can possibly expect.
Never thought of that.
Oh, you know it. You know it.
That's what makes you think of it. I never thought of that, Lord.
Thirdly, we all work together as a team for the King of Kings. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.